Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slammed up.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday to all across the Delaware Valley. It is Monday, July the 13th. And you know what that means? We're 10 days away from the Rista. The first of the sports come back. Major League Baseball. July the 23rd, we'll have sports. Oh, I can't wait. I absolutely can't wait. We'll have baseball come back. I can't wait for NHL. The NHL talked about its restart plans from Edmonton and Toronto and how the games would start at around 2 o'clock. So you're going to have NBA and NHL, they're going to stagger the games from Vancouver, stagger the games from Toronto, from Edmonton, stagger the games from Toronto. So we'll have hockey all throughout the day into the wee hours of the morning, until about 2 o'clock in the morning. We're going to have NBA all day long, and we're going to have baseball. Now, if they could possibly get through all these spikes, now I grant you, look, I saw the number out of Florida yesterday and, 15,000 cases, and it gets you nervous to think about how in the world can they possibly, have a, will that bubble be safe with 15,000 new cases in Florida? So, again, that's always out there hanging out like the specter that's scary, that's looming. However, if they can get through it, and I think they're going to try to play it. I think all three of the leagues are hell-bent on trying to play this thing. It could be, as sports fans, sportsgasmic. It could be incredible. And I'm really, what I like to do today is focus in on the chances. I want to look at Flyers, Sixers, Phillies. And let's suspend disbelief that they're going to play through the season, right? They'll play through their startup, whatever it is. In the NBA, they'll have the regular season games and play in this tournament. That they'll have NHL playoffs. That they'll have a baseball season, 60 games in 65 days. And I want to dive into the chances for each of these teams. Where will they go? How far can they go? Because I have news for you. Look, I agree. It's just such a crazy year with all kinds of asterisks and the whole thing. I'm with you. Who the hell knows? However, watching one of our teams win in the COVID 2020 year, I don't know. I mean, I that excites me, the chance that they can win it, any of them. And to me, I don't care what anybody says, it counts. I'm ready to go. I'm excited for it. And there's no downer that, there are all these crazy circumstances. I don't know. It makes it more memorable that if one of these teams, what are the odds that one of the three teams can win it? Now, obviously, Sixers and Flyers are much more of a favorite than the Phils just because of the bullpen thing. But I think they're a playoff team. I'm liking the lineup. I think the lineup's got enough pop in it that I think you could have the Phillies make some noise. They gotta just survive their bullpen. And you gotta survive the first 3 weeks before you can stretch out the rotation. Rotation's not bad. I look at the rotation and I go, all right, I can get behind the rotation. My biggest fear is going to be the bullpen because I think they're going to score runs and with Noah Wheeler, and maybe Arrieta comes back and has a decent year with the fact that it's only a handful of starts. He's rested. He's a veteran, and maybe, you know, figures it out and can be effective in that spot. So I think there's a chance that, you know, I'm expecting playoffs. I want your expectations as to how far these teams go. I got to tell you, the one sport that it's been quiet, they came out Friday night and talked about the restart plan, which is the NHL. I'm real excited for, like, Flyers hockey. I'm summertime, watching pucks, I like it. I think it's a great, like, dive in. And, you know, look, anybody's vacation plans, all that stuff, they all got derailed. So I can definitely do the time at home watching games. We got games all day long. I'm in. Good morning, Pat Egan, who is in for the Chunas.
Hello.
What do you say, Patty?
I'm with you, man. I'm pumped to get hockey back. I'm a big hockey fan, but I'm just pumped to get sports back in general.
I am too, and I got to tell you, I really miss the Flyers.
Yeah, it's hard not to say that the way they were playing in the end of the season.
I know. And I don't know. I like the idea of the summertime deal, of the summertime NHL, summertime NBA.
I like it, but I wouldn't want to go 2 months without sports.
Right.
Which is probably what you would get if all the leagues moved to the same time period. But, yeah, I like the fact that this has kind of snuck up on me a little bit. You know, I look at the calendar because time has become a flat circle during this whole pandemic thing, and you look at the calendar and you realize, oh crap, like we're a week and a half away from meaningful games. You just hope that they're going to be able to do it though.
Yeah.
Especially with baseball coming back. You know, they're going to be traveling a lot. And it's going to be difficult for that sport, especially, I think, out of all of them to be able to finish the season. But they'll be the first one to come back. They're going to start at least. Let's see if they finish.
Like that Friday night, I think it's season starts.
Yeah.
The 23rd is a Friday night. And that Friday night is going to be great. Like, we're all going to be in on watching. It's the Yankees. Let me look at it real quick. It's the Yankees and the Nationals. That's fun. And the Dodgers and the Giants.
Yeah, you got to figure what, Garrett Cole versus Max Scherzer
as a doubleheader, right? That's pretty awesome to get it kicked off on their way. Yankees at Washington. It's Thursday, July 23rd, and then Giants and Dodgers. As the doubleheader. Like, you're like, don't baseball ratings go through the roof that night?
It's gotta, right? I mean, just the gambling aspect alone will drive people to the sport. If you were down on it and you said you weren't gonna watch it, I mean, come on. What else are you watching at that point, right?
Well, and here's my biggest thing. Aren't you starved for sports? Like, aren't you so starved for sports that there's a ball game on? You got to watch the ball game.
Yeah.
Don't we miss it? Like, today, I want to dive into missing the games. Missing your happy place of watching a ball game.
I don't know about you, but I've gotten to the point where I don't understand how people live that don't like sports. That wake up every day, and nothing against those people. I just can't fathom how they do it, how you don't look forward to something. Because we're all sports fans, and we've all had that itch in our stomach, right, where you wake up at 7, 8 in the morning, and you can't wait until it's 12 hours later because there's a big game on. And the fact that there hasn't been anything except the niche sports.
This is why I like you. This is why I like you.
I didn't even know that until now.
Because you are so right. How could you not be a sports fan? I don't know about you. And again, this is what we do. This is our whole lives. But how in the world can you exist without sports? It's so boring without sports to watch, without sports to think about. There's nothing. How many? Listen, I love you, and I both love movies. We like TV shows. We love all that stuff. And it's good. Like, I watched a couple of good movies on Saturday night, I'll tell you about. But it doesn't take the place of a game.
No.
It's a couple-hour distraction, but what else are you doing? You nailed it. The idea of looking forward to something. One of the reasons why we're such sports nuts, right, is that it gives us a carrot, right, to get through the workday. I know that if I get through the work, I think about our people, like the Tasty Cake Dom or Nick or Bilal or Jay in West Philly, all these guys, whoever it is, right, who have their jobs. You're delivering Tasty Cakes. All right, you know, you're doing, you're selling wine, right? That's all great. That's what you do. But, you know, let's face it, it becomes mundane. All right. And you need something that you need to look forward to. You need something to go, end of the night tonight. As soon as I get through my day, I know I got a ball game to watch.
I don't know about you, but in college and mostly in college, if there was a big game and I had work or if I had a class, I wasn't going to work. Wasn't going to class. I was skipping. I was finding an excuse. Because you're not going to remember what you did at work, and you're not going to remember what you did in class, but you would remember the game. And that's how important games were to me. And until this pandemic, I really didn't realize how much I valued the sports calendar, because I literally set my schedule to it. You know, I would know what day it was when I woke up. Because, okay, let's say for hypothetical purposes here, Sixers play on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. I would know, okay, if they didn't play yesterday, then it's Tuesday. You know what I mean? Without it, I'm losing track of days. I'm losing track of what day it is of the week.
You said that. I thought I was the only one losing track of days.
Because, I mean,
that had no idea of the calendar. Like, the whole idea of the calendar and the days of the week are all fuzzy, other than you know when the weekend is.
I can't believe that it's mid-July at this point.
Yeah.
You know, and it goes back to what you were talking about of doing your job but looking forward to something that at the end of the day, you know, that's what you are kind of, that's going to be your escape. But it's the ultimate escape. You talked about movies and TV shows, and they are an escape, but it's not something, a movie you invest 2 hours in, a team you invest a lifetime in.
Yeah, and because here's the other thing, too, to your point. You got to get through your day, right? Everybody's got to get through their day, whether it's you're going to class, whether it's your job, whatever it is, you're trying to get through the day, and it's hard, right? It's hard to get through your day. You're a lawyer, and you got cases, and you got the whole thing. You're looking at your schedule, and you're going, I got to get through my day. So in the idle time that you're either doing your job or waiting to do your job, there are these moments. And to get you through it, to buoy you while you're doing your job, you think about the game that night, right? How many times when the Eagles are playing on Sunday and you're in the throes of football season, right? How many times do you get lost on a Thursday going, oh my God, thinking about the matchup, right? It gets you through your week.
That's why I hate opening up the season on Monday Night Football. Because it's like you get a taste of it on Sunday, but it's not your team. And all I can think of is how they're going to match up and whatnot. And it's the anticipation of waiting until Monday night when everybody else is done by Sunday. Oh, I can't stand it.
See, but here's the thing. I get your point, but it's the first weekend. And so I look at it like it's a buildup. So yeah, it's like you're in on Thursday night. Like, I don't know about you, but the NFL... When the NFL's playing, I don't care who it is. I love Thursday Night Football. I'm like in. Like, I'm thinking about the game. And then, you know, you got your college usually on Saturday, but then your NFL you watch all day long, and then the Eagles are Monday night, and that's your big, you know, all right, this is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, with football, I know my schedule when the schedules come out. You know, when the Eagles schedule comes out, I know what I'm doing. I know, okay, we have a bye week in week 9 or whatever. All right, that's the weekend I can spend with the family. But Temple football schedule comes out. All right, I know where I'm going to be pretty much every other Saturday.
Right.
Like, I plan my vacations around this stuff. I plan, you know, and it's...
Yeah.
It's... It, so when you get that taken
I've
away
done the
from
same
you...
thing. For years and years and years, I used to always take off in August. Because, the last couple weeks, I would always sprinkle, I'd save, I'd hoard my vacation, and I would take off the last couple weeks of August. Because I viewed it as... I got, if you get me September, you know, life's great.
I'm golden.
Right? Life's great. I'm in September. I got football. Because you know how it is. By August, unless the Phillies are really good, you know, it's like, all right, I'm dying. I need something else.
August is my most hated month in the calendar.
Yeah, because it's the longest month in the sense of waiting.
Yeah, you get a taste of football. You get a taste of training camp. You get a taste of preseason, but you know it's not actual football.
No. And I'm such a weirdo, right? I'm such a loser that once September hits, I tell myself to enjoy every day of September and October. Because, let's face it, by Thanksgiving, I love the holidays and all, but by Thanksgiving, it's the end of college football and the NFL starts to wane. Right? Where all of a sudden you're on the back nine of the season and you don't have, and soon it's going to be over. And so October, September, October are my favorite months, especially October, because you have all the sports starting and you have everything going on and it's the perfect time of the year. You know, you get Halloween. Like, it's like, I love it. And I try to, I want to slow down the days. In those months.
I'm with you.
Because they're so, but now with the calendar turned upside down, our reward, if there is, you know, to look at it this way, our reward of going through March, let's face it, we had to cancel the NCAA tournament. Like, you forget about that stuff, right? We canceled the tournament, which is always a milepost in the sports calendar. And they canceled the tournament. And so that was a big deal. And then all the dominoes dropped thereafter. And so now we have a restart. And our reward is going to be August filled with playoffs wall to wall.
Yeah, August could end up being my favorite month.
Right? Like, this could be a big deal. But I want to explore that today. I want to explore the idea of how much you miss it. Because I hear people say, I don't really miss it. I had a guy tell me over the weekend who says he was a sports fan, right? And he went, yeah, I'll be honest with you, I'm good. And I was like, you're good?
Wait.
And I couldn't fathom this guy telling me he's good.
No. What a weirdo.
But
I mean, I don't know this guy, but like, you know.
And this guy's not one of these, like hate sports or never was into sports. Like, dude was a sports fan. You know, normal football, whole thing. Been on the Sixers, watch games. And he said that he learned to live without it.
I don't want to learn to live without it.
Yes.
I mean, look, I love my family. I love spending time with them. But 8 o'clock hits. All right, what are we watching on Netflix? Now that gets old.
Right.
That gets old real quick.
Learning to live without it. That's an amazing, I find that, like, I found that unfathomable.
He's not the only one. I've heard that from a few people.
I know.
It's horrifying.
And I want to explore this.
And do you think possibly it's because the teams have had a little bit of success past couple of years, and by success I mean, you know, the Phillies won in 08. That doesn't seem too long ago. The Eagles won a Super Bowl, and
well, it's funny you said it, because I think with the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, what that was a bucket list moment.
I agree.
The whole town, everybody said, I don't know if I'll ever see the Eagles win a Super Bowl. So we did, and it was like a giant check mark off the bucket list of your life.
Yeah. Totally. I remember everything about that day, and we talked about anticipation. Oh, I went to bed intentionally really late on Saturday, so I would wake up later on Sunday, so the game would be closer when I woke up.
Yeah, see, that's something that I would do.
Because I didn't feel like waking up at 9 o'clock in the morning and have to wait that long.
And climb the walls all day.
Sometime. So I warned my wife, I'm going to be asleep at 3 a.m. probably, and I'll be up at 1:30.
Right. No, listen, if I would have done the same thing if I didn't do a show that day. But you're right about that. There is such a thing about that day. That was it. But I think it was such a dramatic happening in our lives that somehow we put a check mark in. It's like, all right, well, I'm good. Eagles won. I saw it. That's it. I don't need to go back there. But I want to start the show with the idea of learning without sport, learning to live without sports. How much do you miss it on that scale of 1 to 10? And if you've learned to live without it, what's the deal? How? Tell us about it. We'll give you the Monday, the weekend 5 coming up as well. Lots to get to. And in the playback today is a devastating one.
This one hurt.
It's my all-time worst loss. And we will play back today the all-time worst loss in Philadelphia history. It's Cuz Radio with Pat in for the Tunis today on a Monday in July, 10 days away from the restart. 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 12:30. Hanging out on a Monday, July the 13th. Enjoying a lovely, it's a beautiful day. Apparently, Pat, when we go out, it's going to be nice. It's like 82 degrees, sunny.
Oh, that's ideal.
Summer day. Good summer.
Unlike the weather.
Count down, man.
Unlike the weather in the 2002 NFC Championship game.
Yeah, so that is the playback for today. Let me just give you a precursor to that game, all right? So I was doing the show at the other station with Steve Martorano. Remember Stevie? Great man, Stevie. So, Pat, we have to do a pep rally. Or earlier that day, we did the show outside at, it was a Friday before the championship game, outside at City Hall. And it was freezing. Like, I was never so cold. And that Friday night, it was bitter. And if you remember, what do you remember about that night? There was a snowstorm they were talking about. It was cold. They were talking snow, maybe, possibly.
So I remember the snow that hit for the Falcons game.
Right.
That was a big storm.
That was a huge storm.
People lost fingers with that one.
Yeah, that was a tough one. But they were talking about it. And then we thought it was a lock, right? But the temperature rose a little bit. I'll never forget that day going into it. It was the last game of Veterans Stadium. It was going to be the culmination of the Eagles finally getting to the Super Bowl. And just a couple years into Donovan McNabb and Andy Reid, they were going to win it. We felt it in our bones. We had owned Tampa Bay. Let's take a listen to the playback. Eagles, Buccaneers.
cold, hard facts here at Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia. 26 degrees. Let's go down to Pam Oliver.
Okay, John Gruden, enough of the blah, blah, blah. How do you win this game in this hostile stadium?
We got to win. We got to play. I don't care where we play or what the thermometer says. You got to play great for 60 minutes.
All righty. Thanks for your time. Let's go back up to Joe.
All right, Pam. Philadelphia wins the toss. They receive. And Martin Gramatica, tired leg and all. The leg has awakened, and he's ready to kick. Troy Aikman talking before the game about the special teams and about the importance and value of Brian Mitchell. Week 7 against Tampa Bay, that's what he did, returning kicks. 144 yards on the day overall, returning punts as well. We're glad you're with us. It's teed up. It's ready to go. Enjoy it.
Wow.
Mitchell. Down to the 25. So many times in a big game, field position is the critical part. We talked about it coming in. Brian Mitchell, the success that he had in their last ball game. John Gruden told us as early as yesterday that they had to somehow find a way to contain him and not allow him to be a major factor in this game. Here we are on the opening kickoff, and he's already made his presence felt.
Yeah, what did he say? Brian Mitchell killed us that first day.
Wow. Oh, my God. I forgot the stat was the Buccaneers had never won under 32 degrees.
I mean, there were things going in the favor of the Eagles left and right with this game. Oh, it hurts.
Oh, my God. The flyover. And here's B. Mitch taking the kick back. And then here's Deuce moments later.
Warren Sapp called this offensive line the best that the Buccaneers faced all year. John Welborn is a guy that he has had personal battles with over the years. He's at left guard. Deuce Staley and Cecil Martin in the backfield. Thrash and Pinkston, the receivers. Chad Lewis, a very active tight end. Donovan McNabb, under center.
Happened to his football team. The first time these two teams played, Deuce Staley gouged them for 152 yards, and everybody said, big deal. Won't happen again. Happens the first time he touches the football.
Wow, wow, wow. Oh my God, I remember. So quick, 7-0 birds, and listen to the vet rock. I was on the sidelines that day, Pat, standing right behind Andy, and the crowd was going crazy. And pregame, when I got there, Hugh Douglas was screaming, "Let's do it for the big girls." And everybody thought we were going to the Super Bowl. And after the flyover and after that touchdown, the sidelines were just rollicking. And there was thought that we're going to go to San Diego.
Let's do it for the big girls.
That's what he said.
That almost makes this loss all right.
When he comes walking in, I was already in the locker room. He comes in, he's like, "Let's do it for the big girls." That's exactly what he said. Wow. Bucks didn't get the ball back. And they wind up chipping away on their first drive. Take a listen, a big play by Michael Pittman.
Quick setup and throw, and that's Pittman on the backfield. Michael is down to the 30, and that's going to bring up a third down, third and short after a gain of 7, third and 3.
And Joe, already a much better game plan by Tampa Bay against this Philadelphia defense. The first time they played, Brad Johnson would go back 5 and 7 steps and hold the ball. Here we're seeing them 1-2-3 or 1-2-3-4-5 get the football out, frustrating this pass rush a little bit.
Yeah, that was the one thing against the blitz. What do? You get the ball out quick, right? And against Jim Johnson's defense, it was get the ball out quick and not get them, set them up, because Tampa Bay was able to score here on a Martin Gramatica 48-yarder. Take a listen.
And we'll get an early look at Martin Gramatica as you look at Jim Johnson, defensive coordinator for the Eagles.
One of the problems with going with that tight bunch formation, it brings linebackers like Carlos Emmons right up on the line of scrimmage, and you can't tell if they're in coverage or going to blitz. That time Emmons came and forced a quick throwaway.
Yeah, because Emmons had to make him get rid of the football early, he had a chance, had he have kept it high, to McCardell. 48-yard try from Gramatica.
Yeah, so it's 7-3, and Tampa's able to kind of withstand that early barrage. Both offense begin to lag a little bit, but huge play by Bobby Taylor late in the first quarter, BT. Take a listen.
The biggest key is not taking a sack and getting rid of the football. So far, he's done a good job of that. That's what happened the first time against Philadelphia up here. Sacked five times. The Eagles had six sacks as a team. Play action. And that's picked off by Taylor. Well, you go back to the interception and what Brad was looking at. What you're going to see is double coverage right here. Bobby Taylor, you got the safety in the back. He's trying to throw the corner route, but this is the guy right here, Aaron Stecker, who's got to get the football. Brad tries forcing one. He's hurt by it. Interception. You got to come back against a defense like this. Take what is given to you. That time you have Aaron Stecker in the flat for a five-yard gain, and you just have to be patient.
Wow. Wow, wow. Oh. I remember that. I'm thinking, all right, here we go. But if you remember, Donovan was rusty. The defense won the first game. Donovan had been out. That's when he broke the ankle against Arizona, broke the foot, and he had been out. AJ came in the last five games of the season. He came back, and he was off this game. And the problem is they couldn't do anything after the BT interception. Tampa gets the ball back, and then this play that we'll all remember, the name LeVon Kirkland. Take a listen.
John Gruden has been asked all week long, hey, this is why you were brought here. And he said, hey, let me tell you something. I know why I was brought here to Tampa Bay. I was brought here for the same reason every other coach has been brought to their football team, and that is to go on and win a Super Bowl. And this is just a step. But he also knows that he does not have all the pieces in place that he would like to have in order to execute the offense the way he would like. He was a late hire, does not have a great offensive line, and not a lot of speed outside. Third down and two. Time for Johnson, and he finds Juravicius. Joe Juravicius flying down the sideline. Joe Juravicius is forced down inside the 10. No flags on the play. They're going to mark Juravicius out at the 5.
And what a week for Joe Juravicius. He's missed practice all week because his wife was having problems with their young child just born this week, and they were concerned about his health. And for him to come back in this play and make that kind of play early in the game, amazing.
That was LeVon Kirkland he beat. That was no Trot. Remember, Trot leaves for Washington. He has a beef over his contract. I'll never forget the story. Trot got really angry, barged into Andy Reid's office. It's during the offseason. Andy has to call Jim Johnson to calm him down. And Trot bolts for Washington.
Yeah, they franchise tagged him.
Right.
And then they took it off and let him become a free agent.
And because he got mad and there was a big blow up, and the result was LeVon Kirkland. And the result was Joe Juravicius 71 yards, which changed the whole game around. It was, think about it, 7-3, and Taylor has the interception. Eagles miss a golden opportunity, and then Tampa gets loose 71 yards from Juravicius, and this sets up Mike Allstott. Remember him?
Now, as you see, told us yesterday that he thinks that Warren Sapp is as good a blocking tight end as there is in the league. They can run left or right with Dilger on the right side, Sapp on the left. Allstott again, bouncing it outside. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. So here are the Eagles getting a 70-yard return from Brian Mitchell to start the day. A few plays later, they're in the end zone. Tampa Bay comes back. A few first downs later, they have a field goal, and now down the field into the end zone, and they take the lead.
And Mike Allstott is hot right now. He's working. This Eagles defense are playing power football. But let's remember what that set this up. Brad Johnson threw the interception, and then the Buccaneers defense held, and no points were given up because of the interception.
Ball's away!
Ball is away, and it's through the uprights for a 10-7 Buccaneer lead.
So Bucs up 10-7. We go to the second quarter. Eagles get a little luck, though, via special teams.
Gain of one on the play, and it's time for Tampa Bay to punt.
This is going to be a very, very difficult punt right here, too. Anytime you're inside the 15 yards that you're used to having to punt the football, your punter basically has to just catch it and kick it. So if you can get it out even to the 40-yard line, it's going to be a great kick from here.
Season.
And you can't step backwards here. It's a safety.
Line drive punt. Second bounce went the way of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but as it is, into the wind with very little room with which to work. Only a 36-yard punt from Tom Tupa. So great field position for the Eagles. Trail by three.
All right. Great field position. We're excited. It's starting to drive inside Tampa territory. And this is what happens.
Play clock. Almost expired. And McNabb. Wow. Buying all kinds of time. Guns it out of the back of the end zone. You can't do much more than what Donovan McNabb did to buy time waiting for somebody to get open. Monty Kiffin's defensive backs did a tremendous job. Well, you're exactly right. In order for Donovan McNabb to have that kind of time to throw the football and move around and yet find nobody to deliver the ball to, that speaks volumes for the secondary and the job that they've done. Of course, Todd Pinkston there, but by that time, Donovan McNabb had already started running to his right and was unable to find him. Great job by the linebackers and the secondary group to keep those guys covered. David Akers headed to the Pro Bowl. 30-yard try. It is good. Barely.
So the golden opportunity turns into 10-10, a measly field goal. And we didn't like the sound of that. That was a great opportunity for field position, but nobody open. Where have we heard that before? And that turns into an Akers field goal. In the second quarter, Brad Johnson answers back. Oh, no.
The last eight trips by opponents into the red zone against these Eagles has produced only one touchdown and two field goals. This Eagles defense has done a fabulous job stopping teams and keeping them from scoring any kind of points down inside the 20-yard line. Tampa Bay spends its second timeout. I thought, guys, it was interesting when Jim Johnson, the defensive coordinator for the Eagles, said that the crowd noise actually works against Philadelphia in these situations because the Eagles change up so much and really audible on defense because of the shifting of the Buccaneers.
That's right, and it becomes worse against the Buccaneers because, as you mentioned, all the movements and shifts, these secondary guys do communicate, and the noise creates problems.
Third and goal. Quick throw, Johnson. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. It was a drive that featured a lot of Brad Johnson to Keyshawn Johnson, and the Bucs are back on.
time, they come in with the slant with Keyshawn Johnson, and that was just pitch and catch right there between Brad Johnson and Keyshawn. You're going to watch. He runs the slant, and Blaine Bishop has got to be the guy to help play that, but he's 4 yards deep in the end zone, and even if he's there to make a play and make the hit, Keyshawn Johnson's in the end zone.
Now, did you tell, can you hear the silence, the vet fall silent with worry? All of a sudden, 7-0 lead turns into a 17-10 deficit.
Well, as you just heard, Jim Johnson wanted it quiet. You got to find humor in these situations, guys.
Yeah, there was no humor there. No gallows humor when it came to that game. We had some hope right before halftime. Could Donovan engineer a drive to get things even, or at least get them get a field goal before halftime?
I would say no.
Well, you wonder right now whether or not Philadelphia is just trying to get themselves in a better position to attempt a field goal, or if right here on 3rd and 10, if they're going to do something that may give them an opportunity to pick up the first down. I wouldn't completely be surprised right here to see them come with a screen pass. They run the screen play as well as anybody in football. Staley in the backfield, not Levins, who's typically in on the screen. As McNabb has it knocked out of his hand, the ball is live, and it's picked up by Simeon Rice. There was no whistle. Right now, it's being ruled a fumble.
No question about it. McCauley threw his beanbag, which means in his mind at this point, that is a fumble. Simeon Rice is going to bring the initial pressure, and then it's just going to be a bit of a jailbreak. They all sort of meet at McNabb.
That ball looked to be on that replay out before the arm started forward.
Oh, there it was. Donovan fumble, and they go to the half down 17-10. We'll come back with the conclusion of the NFC Championship game 2002.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, Pat.
Hello.
Did you see, I walked in there, right? And you like to keep the dark, keep it dark in the studio.
Yeah.
So I go in there and I'm expecting it's you. I didn't notice that you left.
Yeah, we gotta look down.
And all of a sudden, I walk in and I'm startled.
The D-Train.
I think it's Hannibal Lecter.
Nah. You see, the problem was you were on the train tracks when the D-Train was rolling through.
That's right. Dylan, who's our floater today, doing a great job as he always does. But it startled me because Dylan was standing there with like an empty look in his eyes and the mask on.
Yeah.
And he looked like Lecter.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to meet Dylan in a dark alley.
He looks like the Lecter.
He doesn't have the same morals as Lecter, you know. But I wouldn't want to meet the D-Train in the dark alley. He's not one to be trifled with.
He scares me.
The D-Train? He scares a lot of us.
Scares me.
He's one of those employees that no one's fired him because you're too worried about the consequences. You know, I value my tires. You never know what the D-Train will do.
All right.
So when you call up here and you speak to the D-Train, just know.
Okay.
He's taking numbers.
D-Train it is. He's scary.
Got to get off the tracks. Choo-choo.
I'm scared of the D-Train. All right, let's get it's 1 o'clock and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WPEN. Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We are a Beasley Media Group station. And here we go, the resumption. Eagles, Tampa, playback. One of the most devastating losses in Philadelphia history. Gabriel, who is one of our people, fine. He does the Gabe imitation. Gabriel.
Oh, my.
Said it's 85 degrees outside, but I'm shaking with the cold sweats listening to this playback.
It's not the most fun playback we've ever done.
But it's necessary.
It's necessary
to relive it. Let's begin the second half. Eagles are down 17-10. Now, we go to the third quarter. Bucks can't capitalize, right? Going to the half. So, Eagles trailing by a touchdown. Let's go to the third quarter. And Chad Lewis looking to give the Eagles some momentum. Take a listen.
Numbers for the Eagles on third down. It's third and eight.
Here they come.
And they are coming. The offensive line picks it up, and the throw is caught. Chad Lewis with a tremendous catch on a ball right off the top of this turf.
Well, they showed blitz. They pulled out. They played man-to-man coverage, and Chad Lewis just does a great job of pulling this one up off the ground. You're right, Joe. That was not a very good throw. And Chad Lewis, who's running away from where that ball was thrown, being able to redirect his body and still make the catch. Great athletic play.
Five throwing some worm burners. Chad
Come on,
Lewis,
they were bringing a blitz.
Bails him out.
They were bringing a blitz.
He stinks. And here's what Does happened. It. A little bit later on, five. Take a listen.
And Troy, I think that prior play is a double-edged sword because not only was it a good pickup and a first down, but also sends a message to Monty Kiffin, hey, you better be careful when you want to try and blitz us. And I know defensive coordinators get a little gun-shy when you fire your bullets a few times and it doesn't work back. And now we'll see if they just sit back and play their regular defense.
That's the second down and seven. Blitz coming off the corner. And it was Barber who got there. The ball's knocked out and Tampa Bay ends up with it. Swims with the recovery, but on a corner blitz, it was Rondae Barber who knocked it out of the hand of McNabb.
And it's the exact same way that Simeon Rice was able to knock the ball out of Donovan's hand. You see him 20, Rondae Barber right there. Donovan brings the ball back. Rondae Barber coming off the edge. Trey Thomas tries getting a hand on him, but Rondae Barber too quick and able to pull the ball off of Donovan's hand.
Ah, five!
So I asked Trey one time who was the toughest guy he ever went against. And I was expecting to hear some, not bigger names, but the name he said was Simeon Rice. And I was always surprised about that.
Nah,
said there was just something about Simeon Rice that would just
good.
Get after him.
Yeah. See, now, listen, you know, I get mad at five for some of these games. And, you know, he was a very good quarterback, but he was not clutch. And once again, he showed his unclutchness in this game. He was awful in the second half. Absolutely awful in this game.
You keep talking about him like that.
And I'll never forget, like, we kept expecting the offense. Defense kept holding, and we kept expecting the offense to do something. And I'm on the sidelines, and I tell this story. I've told it before, but it's, you ever know when you feel impending doom? All right? So there's a moment, it's getting cold, nightfall at atop Veterans Stadium. It's getting colder. The offense is ice cold. And I'll never forget, coming off the field after a punt, Ike Reese. And I lock eyes with Ike. And he made those eyes of, oh no. This is not good. After the offense struggled again.
Yeah, it was not Donovan's best performance, as you'll continue to hear.
And we'll hear three and out. And then finally, Brad Johnson connects for the Buccaneers.
Kirk there for the stop after a gain of six.
Well, a nice thing here by John Gruden. They kick out Ken Dilger, the tight end. That puts Bobby Taylor, a corner, on him. And they have Keyshawn Johnson in on the slot. He then is working against a linebacker. They do a good job of covering him. And then they got Pittman working against Levon Kirkland. All the matchups were there. They just weren't able to get much out of the play.
Third down and four. Wide open is Dilger. Just shy of the 15-yard line with another Tampa first down.
Great play call that time by John Gruden. They're coming with the pressure off the corner. He's just going to take it and dump it right over the head of N.D. Kalu. And the cornerbacks on this side, I believe it was Troy Vincent, they just took off and ran down the field trying to cover Joe Jurevicius. You see everybody with their back turned, and nobody saw picked up Dilger.
Well, so many times when you got a guy in the backfield and you let him come out into the flat, they think he's going to block. He comes out of the flat. Nobody's there to pick him up.
Oh. Eagles defense is able to force a stop. But Tampa would get points.
Third and one. All stopped. Running right. Lost yards. And a big stand for the Philadelphia defense. Troy Vincent was first there.
That's a good job by the Eagle defense there, stopping Mike Allstott. But Mike Allstott is not a guy, in my opinion, who you hand the ball off to and have him run off tackle. He's much, much better when he's able to run straight ahead, north and south, in around the guard area. But Troy Vincent coming in there off the corner, plays it well and stops him.
Carlos Simmons did a great job of taking out the two lead blockers there and really made the play.
7-yard try for Grammatica, who hit from 48 early. Snap a little high. It's down and through. Grammatica ends up on the turf, and no penalty flag is thrown. Ryan Dawkins came through, hit Martin Grammatica, but they do not throw a flag, and the Buccaneers pick up 3 points.
So the big stop, right, turns into a 20-10 deficit. And it's up to five to bring him back. And ladies and gentlemen, fourth quarter, the play that will haunt us forever. Take a listen.
Second down and seven.
Stops running all the way back down. Rondé Barber, I'll never forget, right? Standing there on the sidelines, and it got so quiet, the whole stadium. And you could hear the Buccaneers whooping it up on the other side. Across the field, you could hear the Tampa celebration.
Don't worry, Ant, there's always next year.
It was...
Oh, wait.
Definitely quiet. And here's the final play of the game.
One more play in this NFC Championship. It's Chad Lewis. Lewis just brought down inside the 10, and that completes a tremendous day for this Tampa Bay defense.
Well, you can't say enough about the defense. You can't say enough about that man right there, John Gruden, the job that he's done ever since arriving here in Tampa Bay, and especially about Brad Johnson. Finally found himself a home, a coach that believes in him, made the most of his opportunities, as has his team. And now they're going to make their first trip to the Super Bowl in franchise history.
That's right. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are headed to San Diego for Super Bowl 37. They await the winner of the Titans-Raiders game, which is to follow later today.
And there it was, the most devastating loss, and 70,000 people shuffling out of the vet with zombie eyes.
There's nothing worse than leaving an arena or a stadium or a park or whatever it is when the season's over. Like when in a game that you lose and you're done, there's nothing worse than walking out.
Especially that game, because that was the Super Bowl. We were called it a Super Bowl. And they should have won. They were the favorites. And they were up 7-0,
yeah.
5 seconds into the game. B-Mitch, kickoff, deuce, touchdown.
Yeah, Tampa can't win in cold weather. Last game of the vet. Oh. You were there last year, so you got to get over the hump this year, right?
Me. I can't even get over it. I can't believe I subjected you and everybody else to this.
Yeah, seriously, why would you do that?
I don't know. It's supposed to be heartbreak week. We got more heartbreak this week. I
need some cuz bucks from you.
Oh, you're right. Violation to live through this. Now I'm mad at Five all over again.
You know, you can continue to be mad at Five all you want, but at the end of the day, it was down.
Number Five will always love
there
you.
There we go. Don't forget it.
Oh, my God. Dude, he's...
Do you want to hear the good news? Eventually, he does get to the Super Bowl. It doesn't end well, though.
What was he doing, man? What the hell?
So the two plays that stick out vividly in my mind from that game are Jarvicious
The trot. I mean, how do you not have trot? Oh.
And then, obviously, the Barber pick six that clinched
that was
it. Because
horrible.
He had made a great throw. I mean, that's kind of the definition of Donovan's career, really. He makes a great throw to Antonio Freeman.
Yes.
First and 10. Next play.
Yes, like he made a great play. There was still, he had tremendous ability, right?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.